Paratooth Radio is a proud member of Evergreen Podcasts on killerpodcasts.com.
Christian and non-Christian paranormal investigators. They have two different views, and it seems as if neither of them can ever agree on anything. So what happens when a mainstream view of the paranormal crosses paths with the Christian view? Something.
Vincent, welcome to Paratooth Radio, man. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
So right off the bat, in your biography, you said that you began practicing astral projection and lucid dreaming at the age of 14. Now, that's pretty deep subject matter for a 14-year-old, in my opinion. But what sparked your interest and why did you decide to pursue that practice?
Man, I was always very open-minded and curious and interested in, paranormal and, fringe subjects, even from a young age. And I came across this website about out-of-body experiences, and I thought it was so cool. I found a technique, and I tried it for, less than a week. I was able to leave my body, and I've been practicing that ever since.
So Eric and I have kind of talked about astral projection and lucid dreaming without a guest. So I thought this was a perfect opportunity to get you on to talk about this. Now, for those that don't know what either are, can you explain astral projection and lucid dreaming?
Astral projection is a type of out-of-body experience in which enters higher dimensions of reality. And essentially, reality exists in an entire spectrum of different dimensions. And the physical dimension can be considered the base of this spectrum. And so during astral projection, your consciousness will project or travel, enter these higher levels of reality. And lucid dreaming is similar in many aspects, but it's also different. Lucid dreams typically take place in a type of subconsciously created reality in which, essentially, whatever you experience, the environment, whatever situation you happen to be engaged in, they're all projections of deeper levels of your mind. And so during lucid dreams, you have a lot more control and influence, and you can manifest things a lot easier because this is all content coming straight from yourself, essentially. Whereas with astral projection, these take place in more objective levels of reality, that exist beyond your own mind. And so there are differences in the nature of the experiences and how you navigate and what you're capable of doing.
Okay. So I've been able to lucid dream since as far back as I can remember. And something that I've been told is associated with it, but I don't know if it's accurate, is that I've been able to go back into a dream right where I left off. Is that something with lucid dreaming as well?
Yeah, that is definitely possible. You can do that with just normal dreams or lucid dreams. Like I said, these experiences are essentially creations of the subconscious mind. And so, you can essentially, instruct your subconscious mind to recreate that previous scenario, and you know, you enter it. And so lucid dreams, what's the difference between a lucid dream and a dream? Well, it's the presence of your consciousness, your waking level of awareness.
Okay.
So, I've tried lucid dreaming numerous times and fail every single time. And there's been a couple of occasions where in the middle of a dream, I'll realize that it is a dream and I'm present, but then it immediately snaps me out of it and I wake up. One thing I have not been able to do is stay in it or come back into it. So it just, I guess in your opinion, if there's any sort of teaching method, I've heard there are a number of ways to do it, such as trying to, right before bed, looking at your hand, telling yourself that when you see your hand, if you see your hand in a dream, you're going to know that you're dreaming. And it's going to help you to kind of connect to that conscience, or your conscience in that dream. Is there any other methods that have worked for you that might help other people who are trying to accomplish lucid dreaming?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, what you said is a great technique. And what that essentially is a type of reality check. If you do it right before bed, you can consider that more of a type of self-hypnosis or subconscious programming. And you're essentially giving your subconscious mind instructions to carry out. And so you're basically instructing your subconscious mind to trigger your lucid awareness with a particular event, which would be looking at your hands. And you know, you can carry this over into your daily life with reality checks. And so throughout your day, every time you look at your hands, you question your reality, your state of consciousness, whether you're dreaming or awake. And if you do that enough, this carries over into the dream state, and it'll have the same effect. And so you'll become lucid in a dream that way. And, you know, you can do other things, not just look at your hands, but maybe every time you flip on a light switch, or any number of other things, anytime you check your watch, something that you do repeatedly throughout the day, you know, things that would tend to also appear in your dreams. But aside from that, there are other methods, like affirmations, things like that. There is also another type of lucid dream, which is a wake-induced lucid dream. And so, your typical lucid dream, you fall asleep, you're dreaming, and then you become lucid. Well, with a wake-induced lucid dream, you induce this experience directly from the wakened state. And in this way, it's very similar to astral projection. So essentially, you know, you'll be awake, you'll lay down, you'll do a type of meditation, and you will directly enter a lucid dream. And, the method for that is, there are different techniques, but essentially it's a type of meditation in which you allow the body to fall asleep and keep your mind awake, which is essentially the same for astral projection. But the difference between those two is that during astral projection, your consciousness will, as I mentioned before, it will shift into the astral dimension. Whereas for this wake-induced lucid dream, your consciousness will enter a subconsciously created reality. So the difference is essentially the reality that your consciousness is experiencing, but the method of inducing them is practically the same.
So I recently saw a video of a woman documenting her lucid dream, and she had said that she was going through the dream, her and this party of friends were laughing, and she randomly realized she was in a dream. She started lucid dreaming, and she asked them, you know, you guys are all acting, right? And the characters in her dream all stopped, turned, and looked at her, and told her, you talk too much. Now, is that just like a message that the subconscious is trying to reach that person? And I mean, she made it sound like it was super creepy, but have you ever had that happen to you? And is that just a message, or is there more to it?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting when you begin to actually communicate with the characters in a lucid dream. And I mean, even more interesting is communicating with individuals and entities during astral projection. And so, yeah, typically any character you encounter in a lucid dream will be a type of projection from your own subconscious. And so, you're more limited in terms of, the nature of the communication. So for example, during astral projection, you can actually communicate with other conscious entities that, you know, exist beyond yourself. And so through that, you know, you can gain information and have some pretty incredible communications. And that's a bit more limited in lucid dreams. Now, the thing is, our consciousness as we experience it, usually is just a small aspect of a much larger consciousness, which, you know, we are a part of. And so through lucid dreams, it is possible to tap into this greater level, this higher level of consciousness. And from that, we can gain access to like genuine insights and information. And so, it could just depend on the individual and where they're at in terms of their development, the strength of their lucidity and how much experience they have with these practices, and whether they're able to tap into these higher levels of their consciousness or not. So, I mean, in that particular case that you mentioned, I can't be sure what the situation is, but yeah, it's a very interesting topic.
Now, you mentioned higher consciousness while dreaming, but there have been a lot of theory out there, and some people have come forward stating that they've communicated with gods or goddesses or guardians of some sort in their dreams, and that spiritual entities have the ability to manifest within our minds or within our dreams as we sleep. Do you find that there's any, I guess, truth to that? And if so, like, how do you differentiate what is your own conscience and what is something that's separate and its own entity?
Yeah, that's a good question. I do believe it's possible, certainly. I mean, all of these experiences, dreams, lucid dreams, astral projection, just our experience of this physical world, they're all connected through our consciousness, and they all basically come from like the same source, which is a higher level of existence, of spiritual reality. I definitely think it's possible for independent conscious entities of whatever kind to communicate with us in dreams and lucid dreams, of course. And so how do you distinguish what is what? Well, like I mentioned, the fact that lucid dreams are typically a subconscious creation, well, it allows us to manipulate the experience and all these aspects of the experience in such a way that you can essentially determine whether it is coming from your mind or not. And essentially it comes down to experience and experiments with these different states of consciousness in these different levels of reality. And eventually you see patterns and you put pieces together. And so, for example, in a lucid dream, or in an out-of-body experience, you can set the intention, any element of this experience that is generated by my subconscious mind, be gone, right? And so a lot of times there will be elements of the experience you were having, which completely disappear. Sometimes the entire environment will disappear and you'll be just floating in blackness. And, you know, other times nothing at all will disappear. And this is just an example of one test you can do. And it helps to confirm the level of consciousness and reality that you're experiencing. But I mean, it's possible to elevate a lucid dream into an astral projection. And essentially, a lucid dream is similar to a dream in the sense that there's a scenario or there's a storyline playing out and you're essentially immersed in it. And of course, this is the case with dreams, but even with lucid dreams, you become lucid, you realize you're dreaming, but there's still this story being carried out. And what you do is you elevate your consciousness to such a level that it transcends the storyline and the situation being manifested by the subconscious mind. And then you essentially shift into an objective level of non-physical reality, like an astral dimension.
Interesting. So you can laugh at me for this next question because I'm so oblivious to what astral projection or, you know, how astral projection works. I've always wanted to try it, but and I'm sure there's probably other people out there that might have this fear of not returning to your body. I mean, is that a thing or is that just a fear?
You know, given my experience and my understanding of the process, well, the only way that could happen is if your physical body were to die during the out-of-body experience. So let's say a meteor crashes on your house. Yeah, you'll be out there because essentially an out-of-body experience is no different from what happens in a near-death experience or, you know, at death, which is our consciousness basically projects into a higher levels of reality. And so there is no real danger of having an experience out of your body and that experience resulting in you being stuck out of your body. That doesn't happen.
All right. So okay. There's basically we're basically tethered to our bodies unless something physical were to cut that tether, in this case being a physical death. Interesting. Really? Okay. Now, one thing I did want to ask you, because I mean, you mentioned it a little bit you know, during our conversation here, but also in the biography you sent us, you have had contact with different types of non-physical entities. Would you care to tell us a little bit about your experiences with that and what the overall, I don't know, process was like, you know, meeting these weird, whatever they were or whoever they were?
Yeah, definitely. My first experience encountering an entity was probably my second out-of-body experience ever, you know, back when I was 14 years old. I left my body and there was this huge shadow being standing next to my bed, facing me. And this thing was huge, like probably 7 feet tall, just this big, massive, dark silhouette. And it scared the crap out of me. And for a while, I would encounter these shadow beings right as I was projecting from my body. And there was no real intelligent interaction with them. They seemed to get off on, you know, making me scared. And, you know, sometimes they would just be lurking, just standing there. But other times they would actually come at me, like they would try to grab me or something. And a lot of times I would re-enter my body. And, you know, what happens is that there's a type of trigger that causes like an automatic re-entry into your body. Anytime you experience like a heightened state of fear or there's a threat or, you know, something like that. And, you know, you asked what the chances are of being stuck out of body. And actually, the challenge is staying out of body, because it's so easy to re-enter your body. Even just the thought of your physical body back in bed can be enough to cause you to instantly re-enter your body. So yeah, in the beginning, there were these shadow people. And, you know, eventually I stopped encountering them. You know, what happens typically in the beginning of your astral projection practice, you will project into the lower dimensional levels. And as you progress and develop through, you know, practice you know, there's a type of energetic development that takes place, you know, gaining experience out in these higher levels. Well, you begin to access higher and higher dimensions. And so as I was able to, you know, penetrate into deeper, higher dimensions, I stopped encountering these shadow beings, because they seem to exist in the lower levels, like the dimensions just slightly higher than the physical dimension. And so if you project directly into a dimension higher than them, you won't encounter them. You're on a totally different level.
Okay. Now, how long was it that you were able to go from the lower levels to higher levels? Was there a certain time frame?
Well, it was pretty much a progressive development. You know, I've been doing this for 22 years, but I didn't start entering what I would consider higher dimensions for a number of years. And, you know, until then, you know, I was getting higher and higher over time. And, you know, you can tell this just in terms of the nature of the environments and the dimensions and the entities that you encounter. And so, yeah, after a few years, I started to penetrate into these really higher dimensions. And what you experience in these higher realms is so much different from the lower dimensions. I mean, the lower dimensions tend to be very similar to the physical world. So, you know, if you project from your body, the room around you will look pretty much just like your room in the physical world. There may be some slight differences, but nothing major. But as you get further, deeper into non-physical reality, the environment changes more and more from the physical dimension. And in these higher levels, you can reach a point where there's no more similarity whatsoever to the physical dimension. And the experience, it basically defies physical concepts. And sometimes it's hard to really like accurately translate these experiences in a way that makes sense to us from this physical mind vantage point.
Okay.
So, I mean, would you say that, I don't know, I mean, I guess, first of all, have you, from the very beginning, did you try almost immediately to try like to go as far as you can in these dimensions, in these higher dimensions, or did you feel limited and it was more of a, you know, you're conscious somehow graduating from a certain plane of existence, and then suddenly a door opened and it's like, oh, I learned everything I could here, did what I could here, let's move on to the next one. Like, how was that experience? Is that just something that you think happened genuinely, or was it something you pushed for and just eventually got to?
Yeah, it was definitely a gradual process. So in the beginning, I didn't know a lot about out-of-body experiences. You know, back then I had done very little research. There wasn't a lot of information available. Like, the internet was nothing like it is today. And so, you know, there was very limited information available. And I basically just left my body and explored what I came across. I really had no goals or intentions other than just to figure out, you know, what was going on. And, you know, in the beginning, there's also a learning process where you have to learn, you have to figure out how to navigate in these other realities. And, you know, you can consider it similar to learning how to walk, you know, because it's not like you have a physical body that you just move the muscles and you go from place to place. It's a much different process and experience. So, you know, you got to get used to that. And there are a lot of like obstacles that you need to overcome. You know, sometimes mental blocks that can, you know, limit certain aspects of your experience, and other times just things you encounter out there. You need to figure out how to deal with them.
Okay. Now, for anybody who would want to start doing this, either lucid dreaming or astral projection, what kind of advice would you give them?
Well, I would start by recommending research, you know, learn as much about these practices and experiences as you can, you know, from other people who have had them. Right. So, you know, read all the books you can, watch videos, and just try to, you know, get a good understanding of what's happening. You know, that can be really helpful. You know, learning techniques and methods is also helpful. But, you know, I talk to a lot of people who want to have these experiences, and they try, and they're just unsuccessful. And, you know, there are certain factors which can account for this. You know, it's not all technique. Of course, like, the method helps, and, you know, some methods are more effective than others, but there's more to it than that, you know, such as your beliefs. You know, some people are afraid, you know, maybe they're not, you know, fully aware of their fear. Maybe it comes from like a deep place in their mind, of their heart, that you know, that's kind of holding them back without them realizing it. So, you know, you can't go into the experience with fear. You know, not only can it make achieving these states very difficult, but it could also influence your experience out there. You know, another thing is being confident. Some people, they don't believe that they can truly do this. Like, it seems like it's something beyond their capability, right? But, you know, the fact is that anyone can do this. In reality, these experiences take place naturally. Every time we go to sleep, this projection process, it occurs every time the body falls asleep. But, you know, typically our mind also loses consciousness, so we're unaware of this projection. But, you know, it's a natural process, and essentially, learning to astral project is nothing more than learning to keep your mind aware as this natural process carries out. And that happens, you know, as the body falls asleep. And, you know, of course, lucid dreaming is a little more clear cut because everyone dreams. I think there's less fear associated with lucid dreaming than astral projection. And, you know, there could be a legitimate reason for that, because we all know that we don't actually get hurt in dreams. And so, you know, clearly that will carry over into lucid dreams too. It's the same, you know, environment and the same source of the experience. But, you know, with the astral projection, you can encounter real entities, you know, that exist beyond your own subconscious projections. So, yeah, there's definitely caution should be taken, because I've had some negative experiences over the years, which, you know, were more than frightening. I mean, I've been attacked while out of my body. I've actually been injured. I sustained like physical pain and injury as a result of these attacks. And so, you know, it's just like this physical world. You got the good side, the bad side, and you need to be wise about how you go about navigating these dimensions.
I think that's something we discuss often on the show, is just the misconception of how safe other dimensions, or just traversing into the supernatural, really is, because so many people think, oh, it's just a game. We can go do whatever we want, come back. And they don't realize the physical dangers that do exist with some of the entities that are out there, some of these dimensions that you're entering. Now, one thing I do want to ask, and this might be a little out there, extraterrestrials, abductions, things like that is something that's really common over the last couple of years here. Now, as you were talking about lucid dreaming and astral projection, I started to think about some of these people who claim to have been abducted by alien entities and how their accounts seem very similar to what lucid dreaming or astral projection might be, especially when some of these individuals are saying, oh, I was driving down this deserted road and all of a sudden time just kind of stopped and there was this white light and all of a sudden I was somewhere else. And it sounded like it could be a type of wakeful lucid dreaming, as you're talking about at the beginning of the show. So my question is, I guess it's two-parter. One, do you believe in extraterrestrials, that it's actual physical alien beings? And two, do you think that there is any legitimate evidence to these alien abductions, or do you think that this could be more of a accidental astral projection or even lucid dreaming and people are just mistaking it as something else?
Well, I have encountered and have had many, many experiences with entities in the astral dimensions, which look like aliens, your typical gray alien, essentially. And, you know, my experience is that they exist and they operate in these other dimensions. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I've had encounters with multiple groups of alien type beings, and whether they are physical, whether they also exist in the physical dimension, it's certainly possible. I mean, I've done a lot of research into alien abductions, and a lot of the reports actually sound like astral experiences. There are a lot of similarities between them, like you mentioned. A typical experience could be something like the person's lying in bed and then they feel paralyzed, and then they see some aliens in the room and then they're lifted out of their bed. Well, all of those are essentially experiences that you can have during an out-of-body experience, because this state of sleep paralysis, it's called, that's nothing more than the body falling asleep, which happens at the onset of astral projection. And, you know, a lot of times people, will see entities during sleep paralysis episodes. And what's actually happening is that as the body falls asleep, your consciousness shifts into another dimension. And so what they're perceiving is not the physical dimension. They're seeing these entities because they're looking into a higher dimension of reality where these entities exist, right? And, you know, I've been pulled out of my body by entities many times, usually against my will. And so the fact that, these people believe that these are physical encounters is due to the fact that they lack the discernment to make that, to make that distinguishment that, they're actually dealing with the astral dimension. Because in terms of just the experience and your consciousness, there's really no difference between your awareness in this physical world and in the astral dimension. You know, at times it can even be more lucid and you're more aware while you're out of your body. And so, yeah, someone without that experience, they may not know the difference. They may think they're, still in the physical world. So, I've also heard a lot of cases over the years of people claiming physical abductions, and there does seem to be a degree of evidence for that. It could be a situation of both happening. You know, sometimes they're physical abductions, sometimes they're more, spiritual.
Mm-hmm. So now, last thing I really have for you is you wrote a book called Astral Projection and Lucid Dreaming, Spiritual Revelations and Out-of-Body Experiences in Higher Dimensions, a complete guide to exploring non-physical reality. With that book, what is the main thing that you want people to take away and read that book? What's the number one goal?
Okay, well, I wouldn't say there's one particular goal, but it's a couple things. I wanted to share my experiences with a larger audience. You know, over the years, I've participated in online groups and forums where I shared my experiences with others interested in the topic. But, you know, I also wanted to share my methods and my techniques and, you know, teach people how to have these experiences themselves. And, you know, aside from those two things, I also wanted to share my understanding of these experiences and the nature of what's taking place and, you know, what's possible, you know, from having over two decades of experience with this stuff. So yeah, it was a combination of those.
Okay.
It's about that time where we usually let the guests go, so I wanted to give you a chance to tell everybody where they can find you, find the book. The mic's all yours.
Okay, great. Yeah, my book is available on Amazon.com. It's available in paperback, Kindle, audiobook, you know, whatever your preferred format is. I myself am a audiobook kind of guy. So yeah, that's right up my alley. And, you know, a month after I published the paperback, you know, I thought I need to get an audiobook of this too, because, you know, if anyone's like me, you know, who likes to multitask, you know, while driving or working out or just walking down the street, you know, gotta keep the mind occupied too. So always listening to something. And yeah, you know, you can also find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that. I'm currently producing an instructional video series where I go into great detail into some of my favorite techniques for having out-of-body experiences. You know, I realize not everyone is able to buy a book. And so, you know, I'm also making these videos available for free. And you can find me on these social media sites. My username is Vincent Field Author, just one word. And, you know, I'd be happy to open up a dialogue with anyone who, you know, has any questions or, you know, wants some advice or just wants to chat about this stuff.
It's interesting that you bring up audiobooks, because that has been the way for me to read for at least the past few years now. And as a writer, I always question myself, you know, you really need to read more. I am technically reading more, but I'm having somebody tell me the story over me actually reading it myself. So I can appreciate that. And as an author myself, I think the audio book is a less utilized thing for authors, because not everybody wants to release the audiobook. But it really does help people that are reading a little bit differently now. So, all right, Vincent, well, we are going to let you go, but you have a good evening, and thank you for being on Paratruth Radio.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, folks, that was Vincent Field, author of Astral Projection and Lucid Dreaming, Spiritual Revelations and Out-of-Body Experiences in Higher Dimensions, A Complete Guide to Exploring Non-Physical Reality. Make sure you check out the book. He had a lot of good responses to what we were asking, so I'm interested to see what our final thoughts are in the post show. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with Paratruth Radio.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, And every week, I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Enchanté. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food. So come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.
Welcome back to Paratooth Radio. As always, my name is Eric.
And I'm Justin.
We just got off the line with Vincent Field, who wrote a book called Astral Projection and Lucid Dreaming, Spiritual Revelations and Out-of-Body Experiences in Higher Dimensions, a complete guide to exploring non-physical reality. Now, I know we've discussed lucid dreaming and astral projection in the past, both on our own, as well as with some of our friends, our other hosts that we know who've joined us over the years. But this is the first time we've had someone on to actually discuss how they practice both of these things and, you know, what his experiences are like. So with all of the things that he did share in terms of how he tends to practice and how he meditates and whatnot, was there anything particular that you took away that you think you might want to use in your own practice? Because I know you've been trying to do this for a while now, both of them. And I know you've had some success with one over the other. So I don't know, is there anything that you think you're going to try out and you think might work for you?
Like with the lucid dreaming, I guess just being more aware of it. I've done it for so long, just accidentally. But I mean, there's plenty of people that have honed their ability on this and are able to do it willingly. Or, you know, actually lucid dream, I mean. As far as the astral projection is concerned, I can't say that what he said alleviates the fear of being lost without my body, if I, you know, even if the physical body is still alive. I think that fear will always be there, but it does open me up to actually want to try it, just because from what he's described, as well as a couple other people have mentioned too, that you are attached to your physical body unless you die. So I think I would take, I would go the extra mile to actually try and do it after just hearing what he had to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's an understandable fear on your part. I feel like, I mean, obviously, if the spirit isn't going to remain attached to the body once the body's dead. So I think regardless of whether you're in astral projection or not, if the body dies, you're still going to be separated and probably end up right where you would be if you're astral projecting anyway. But I think your concern is more so not actually the possibility of the body dying, which wouldn't happen just in astral projection. There would have to be an actual physical element, like some sort of circumstance in the physical world, nothing spiritual in this matter, right, to cause that to happen. But I think initially your fear was more, you know, is it possible just to get stuck and basically end up in like a coma and never find your way back, which we've seen in books and various thrillers and things like that. You know, so that's probably at least in part where some of that idea of your own comes from, maybe subconsciously. But yeah, you know, I mean, I know we've talked about it in the past and I never really thought of such a thing happening, getting lost. Now, I know there's been feelings of it in myself, like dreaming or having nightmares where I feel like I'm stuck somewhere. And that's very different because once you wake up, you're kind of like, oh, good. Now, I know for me, I just, like, I've tried the lucid dreaming thing. I've tried the astral projection. The problem with for me, and I know it's my something that's just very difficult to overcome, and I may never overcome it, and that is the constant onslaught of thoughts that I have on a regular basis. That's basically, you know, mainly due to my anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder. So I can never really focus deep enough to allow myself to separate, transverse, or whatever, through dimensions. What I do notice, though, is I am more capable of kind of doing the lucid dreaming when you're awake. I feel like I tend to be, I don't know, you know, it's weird. It probably has something to do with the artist side, just the imagination that I have, but being able to take the time and really focus and allow my body to relax. I can't fall asleep. If I fall asleep, I'll never know if I'm dreaming or not until I wake up again. But,
right,
you know, one thing, I don't want to say this on air, but the too late, other night,
you're doing it now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're doing it now. So I took a little something to help me sleep the other night.
We'll call it candy. And
what?
We call it candy.
We call it candy. But I have come to notice that, you know, it does, that particular thing helps to expand the imagery, of my thoughts. So whether they're good thoughts or bad thoughts, it tends to expand on the overall detail of the image. And it feels like I'm in a dream state, where everything's happening as if I'm actually there. And it's hard to tell whether that's just the candy taking effect and having its own thing, or if it's actually tapping into a part of the conscious that I can't unlock myself, which is also very possible. You know, there's been a lot of talk about people taking, like, for example, psychedelics, or, you know, various types of alcohol. Even people use alcohol when they're, you know, artists who are painting or writing or, you know, doing some sort of artistic work, and it helps them either focus or expand their mind. And that is something that I have noticed on occasion over the last couple of weeks, is when I do take, the candy to help me fall asleep, or even today, I took a little bit with for my anxiety, and it helped me to focus on some of this editing that I'm doing, as well as some of the writing, which I have not done in forever, but I was able to really focus and just, you know, get stuff done, which is weird to me because there's never really, I mean, you guys don't know this, but my anxiety has been horrible over the last like 3 weeks or so. And so having the ability to focus the day of this recording and get some work done is really nice, but I am seeing some of the side effects as well, where it's helping me to expand my creativity overall. You know, I'm having other ideas that some of those ideas I purposely lock away because, I mean, you guys all know I'm a horror writer. That's what I love doing. But some ideas that I have are just even too much for me that I don't want to write. And, you know, I've noticed that I just, you know, things get crazy and they get dark real fast, but it's also kind of showing me, I guess, new ways to look on the world around us and to really expand on my own writing and my own creativity overall, with even just with like this awoken lucid dreaming that I've been doing.
So, and it maybe not so much, I mean, it can expand the mind, but it also is quieting your mind enough to concentrate on the one specific task. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard to say whether it's quieting the mind or if it's just lifting focus and kind of drowning out the other stuff, you know? But yeah, it's been an interesting experience to say the least.
And he's told me about some of his lucid dreaming in the past week, and it is a little frightening to hear what he had to say. We won't make him repeat it on air because it's probably not appropriate for air.
No,
but
let's not do that.
But I mean, even in my own dreams, not necessarily lucid dreaming or even trying to astral project or anything, it has helped me to focus as well. So it's interesting. Well, with that being said, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about as far as lucid dreaming or astral projection? Or are you good?
No, I think I'm good. Of course, you know, if any of you guys have questions, comments, feel free to message us and anywhere. You guys know where to find us. So go ahead and message us. If you have any questions for Vincent, if you want to reach out to him, we'll have those contact details in the description, of course. And you'll hear it at the, obviously you've heard it at the end of the show. So you can go back and listen to that, or feel free to send us questions that we can pass on for you guys if we can't answer them. So yeah.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's about all we have for astral projection and lucid dreaming with Vincent Field. Make sure you're checking all of our other episodes to hear what we have to say on so many different topics. And make sure you're checking out Evergreen Podcasts, killerpodcasts.com, and, of course, paratruth.com, where you can contact us either by the message button or by a recording. I've said this numerous times on the show, but we love hearing our listeners' voices to kind of hear a little more context to what they have to say. So until next week, folks, where you will find us same time, same channel. My name is Justin.
And I'm Eric.
Peace.
This.
Welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our 9th season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.